Okay, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
We are on Brachos Daf Mem Aleph today. The shiur is sponsored by OMO Construction and the Bemzers. We appreciate the sponsorship. Also, Bagel Munch. We appreciate their providing the breakfast in honor of still grandchild. All right, we are on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, about five lines down, referring back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah described a situation where a person has different foods. And a machlokas Tanoim here. Tanakama holds that if you have different foods, then say a bracha on whichever one you want. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shivas Haminim takes preference. We're getting into the parameters of that machlokas. Two dots. Amar Ula. Ula, the Amora, says, he defines the machlokas Tanoim. This Tanakama who says, but what I'm going to say is the Tanakhama holds that your preference, chaviv, is what you say the bracha on. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Shivas Haminim is what you say the bracha on. So Ula, the Amora, says, Machlokas is Bishabir Chasehan Shavos. The Machlokas in the Mishnah is, you wouldn't necessarily realize this on your own, but the Machlokas is if you have two fruits, let's say you have grapes and apples. I guess that's an example. Rashi, I think, gives that example. The Rabbi Huda Savar Min Shiva Adif. Rabbi Huda, so you're only going to say one Bar Priya Eitz. It's going to be one bracha, because the bracha of the two foods are the same. So you're going to say one Bar Priya Eitz, but which one do you hold in your hand at the time that you're saying the bracha? Whenever you say bracha on food, you have to hold it in your hand. And which food are you holding in your hand at the time you say the bracha? In a certain sense, we're treating it like it's an object of a mitzvah, and then the question is hidur mitzvah. So for hidur mitzvah purposes, Rabbi Yehuda says hidur is accomplished by shivas haminim. It's more chashuv. And Tanakhama and the chachamim hold that it's whatever you prefer is what gives a chashivas. So the Rabbi Yehuda savar min shiva adit, Rabban and savar min chaviv adit. Aval, but if you have two foods, one of them, let's say, is grapes, and one of them is, let's say, a hadama food, like a vegetable or something, so like a melon. So you have a bunch of melons and you have a bunch of grapes, and you want to eat both, so you're going to say two different brachos. You're going to say different brachos anyway, one ha'etz and one hadama. So then it says, and then just do whichever one you want. And the point being, you're going to need to say two separate brachos, notwithstanding the fact that a bracha on hadama would cover for ha'etz. That's of course what's going on a little bit here under the surface, is that why don't we say one hadama and then have that cover the ha'etz food? Because as we said in that Mishnah last week, that if the bracha on hadama covers ha'etz, Rashi points out that obviously what's clear here is that that rule does not apply in these cases, and you're required to say the bracha on the food appropriately. And the whole rule of hadama covers the eitz is only if you made a mistake, the dievet, on a food, and you actually looked at the food, and you said the wrong bracha on this food. But if you have multiple foods, and you say hadama on the hadama food, that doesn't cover your eitz food. That's what it says over here. So the machlokas in the Mishnah is only when you have bar priya eitz foods. But if you have let's say a ha'etz and a hadama or something, then there's no preference, and there's no machlokas, and there's no preference either. Where I ask, wait a minute, meisavei. So there's a long meisavei over here that's going to try to show ula is wrong. Meisavei, how you define it? Tzinoan v'zayis. This brisa, meisavei is asking kashrim brisa. The brisa presents a case you have tzinoans, you have a bowl of tzinoans, and you have a bowl of olives. Tznons are radishes, they're bar priya hadama. Zayis is eitz. So what do you do? So mevarech al hatznon, this is what it says. The Tanakhama holds, the Braisa seems to say as a stam, mevarech al hatznon upoter es hazayis. You say the bar priya hadama, and it's known, and that covers the zayis. So that sounds a little bit like your hadama does cover your eitz. Mar says, no, that's not what's going on. What's going on is, Kishat's known ikar. Gemara says, well, maybe that braisa can't must be talking about a case of ikar v'tafel. We're going to get into that in the next daf. Ikar v'tafel. So that's why you say bracha on the tznon. The radishes are the ikar, and the in other words, what? That it's a mixture of these foods. It's not that you're only eating a bowl. There's a bowl of radishes and a bowl of olives, and you want to eat them both. It's that you're eating a salad, and it's known as the ikar. So you say one bracha on the ikar, and that covers the olives. Mar says, well, that can't be what's going on. Yafi Ema Seifa, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Mivarach al Azayis, Shazayis Min Shiva. It can't be, because the Braisa goes on to say, Rabbi Yehuda argues here and says you have to do Shiva Saminim. So, Vechi Lasley le Rabbi Yehuda, Hadis Nan, Kosha Ikar, Vima Tfeil, Mivarach al Ikar, Potaras at Tfeil. Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda accept the principle of Ikar Ritafel? After all, Ikar Ritafel would be the more powerful principle that would say it's only one bracha on the ikar, no bracha required at all on the tafel. Doesn't matter what the bracha is or what it would be. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say the bracha on the min shiva, on the olives, if the olives are the case is that the olives are tafel? You shouldn't, even Rabbi Yehuda would, presumably, would agree you don't say a bracha on the tafel, even if it's shiva saminim. Gemara says, well, v'chitei machanami de lesle. Well, maybe he denies the whole principle of ikar v'tafel. Gemara says, no, it's not true. We know for sure he agrees. V'atani Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im machmas tzenon bo'azayis, mevarach alav tzenon epotares azayis. No, it's Rabbi Yehuda himself qualifies his ruling from before, and he says, if the olives are coming as tafel to the tzenon, then the bracha on the tzenon covers. So he accepts ikar v'tafel. So obviously that wasn't the case when he, in the first part of the braisa, in which case we're back to saying that even when it's not an ikar v'tafel, it looks like you only say one bracha on the radishes and that covers it. Hey, it's against what we were saying. Against what everybody knows to be true also. My answer is, yeah, okay. So here's what's going on. Leolam it's known ikar askina. That whole issue can only be explained when it says a bracha and it's known covers the olives. That could only be explained when it's ikar v'tafel. V'chi pligi Rabbi Yehuda v'rabbanan b'milsach risi pligi v'chisuri mechastra v'achi katani. Okay, so here's what the Gemara does. It totally transforms the braisa that we presented into being separate, distinct cases. And here's how it goes. Ha'yulafan of tznoen v'zayis. If you're eating radishes, let's say, and olives, let's say. So mevorach al tznoen upoter es hazayis. That one bracha on the radishes covers the olives, b'med var memurim. That's only kishetznon ikar, when it's an ikar v'tavel situation and the radishes are the ikar, then you say bracha on the ikar, such as it's like in a salad. Aval ein hatznon ikar divrei hakol mevarech al zeh v'chos mevarech al zeh. But if they're not blended, meaning if you're not eating them together, then they're separate foods. So because they're distinct brachos, you need to say a bracha on each food type. On the radishes get a bracha, and the olives get a bracha. And no specific preference described over here for which one you have to do first. We don't care about first. And shnei minim bi'alma, shebir chosehan shavos. And in general, whenever you have two foods that you want to eat that are not your kibritafel cases, but they have the same bracha, they share the same bracha, they're both eats. Let's say, Mevarech al Ezem Shayirtseh. The Tanakama here says you just say a bracha on whichever one you prefer. And Rabbi Yehuda argues in that specific case, Mevarech al Hazayas Shazayas Meimin Shiva. And Rabbi Yehuda argues and he says, no, Shiva Saminim is, that's the preference. That's like the Hidur Mitzvah, and that's the one that you should be holding in your hand when you say the bracha.
Even if that's not the one that you necessarily desire?
Right, that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Right, that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Shiva Saminim is more objectively chashiv, and your personal preference loses to that in terms of this preference. That's consistent with Ula's interpretation of the Mishnah. It doesn't tell you which way we hold. It just tells you what they were arguing about. It doesn't mean that you hold like Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, this is one of those things that you look in the halacha. Shulchan Aruch here has it's a little bit of a morass here to try to wade through a lot of this because it's unclear whether you're going to pasken like Rabbi Yehuda or the Chachamim, for one thing. So, and even if you do follow Rabbi Yehuda, It's unclear, what the rules are. We're going to see in a second. There's more to say, so we're not done yet. Pligi bar Rabbi Ami for Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So these two Amoraim from Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, had a machlokes about this business. And listen to what it says. Chad, one of these Amoraim, doesn't identify which one holds which way, holds machlokes b'shev rechasei and shavos, Rabbi Huda Savar min Shiva Adif, Rabbanan Savar min Chaviv Adif. Okay, one of them holds, like we just said, like what Ula said, namely, that the whole machlokes, Rabbi Huda's shita bet Shiva Saminim is only applicable when it's you're going to say a eitz, question is which one do you hold in your hand? Aval b'she'ein b'rchasei and shavos, but if you're going to say multiple brachos here, you have a eitz and a hadama, let's say, then divrei hakol mevarech al zeh v'chozer mevarech al zeh. Then everybody would agree that you say the bracha on each one separately. Without regard necessarily, without regard necessarily to which one you do first. The Chad Amar Raf B'Sheim Berchusei and Shavos Nami Machlokas. The other Amor holds that's all wrong. That's true. What you said is true. That Rabbi Yehuda does argue, does prefer Shavos Aminim when it's the same bracha, when all your foods have the same bracha. But if they were separate brachos, this other Amora holds that Rabbi Yehuda also demands the bracha be said on the eitz on the olives. The Gemara says, well, huh? Bishlama leman diyamer bishabicha sein shabbos machlokas shapir. Okay, well, we've already worked out the consequences of holding, like ula, where the machlokas is only about which one you're holding in your hands. Aval ela leman diyamer bishabicha ein brichas sein shabbos pligi, but my pligi. But according to the Amora that says that Rabbi Yehuda holds that no, Shivas Aminim still gets the bracha, but they're different brachos. So b'may pligi. So what's the machlokas? Whether Shivas Aminim or Chaviv? You're saying both. You have to say both brachos. One isn't going to cover the other. That's obvious, the Gemara thinks. So like Tosa says, like what he's asking over here is like, why does Rabbi Yehuda tell you have a preference for Shiva Samina? So Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, what would be obvious to all of us? I think we all know the answer. The answer is, which one do you do first? So that's what Digmar says. Rabbi Yirmiyahu lehakti. Question is, okay, so you got to say two brachos, I understand. But which one do you do first? So according to that Amora, the Tanakama holds that even in this case, you do whichever one you want first. Say the Adama first if you like radishes more, and say the Eitz first if you like olives more. But Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, you have to say the bracha on the olives first, because that's Shivas Aminim, and that goes first. Even though I'm going to have to anyway say the Hadama afterwards on the radishes when I'm ready to eat them. Now, that whole concept of the preference, when you are going to say both, but which one do you do first? The Amar Rabbi Yosef, Yitem Rabbi Yitzchak, and then he quotes the whole thing over here, going down about 10 lines with this notion of preference. No, we'll see in a second. He has two lines over here, preference, and then we'll see that not everybody agrees to this. The Amar of Yosef, the Itamer Rabbi Yitzchak, is the Gersa question over here, whether this is the Amar of Yosef or the Amar of Yosef, anyway. Rabbi Yosef, the Amora, or Rabbi Yitzchak, call hamuktam the pasuk zeh muktam levracha. This, of course, works better if you're familiar or if you have the pasuk in front of you. The pasuk that it's referring to is in Akev, where it lays out what the Shivas Aminim are in order. And the order that's presented over there seems to be taken over here by Rav Yitzchak or Rav Yosef to be an indication that the Chumash holds that these foods are to be ranked in a certain ranking. Kol hamuktam bepasuk zeh muktam libracha. Shenemar eretz chita usaora v'gefen uteina v'rimon eretz zeh shemen udevash. These are these seven minim. The shivas aminim are chita usaora. Those are the grains, and gefen and grapes and their products, and te'ein and figs and their products, and rimon and pomegranates. Eretz zeh shemen udevash. Zeh shemen is all one thing: olive oil and devash and dates. So according to that notion, there's a kind of a preference based on a hierarchy of the foods as kind of prescribed by the Chumash here. And so if you take that attitude, then that would be what Rabbi Yehuda is tying into. Now, interestingly, logically over here, the question is this statement about the preference of Shiva Saminim within the Shiva Saminim, is that dependent upon if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who gives any standing to Shiva Saminim at all? Because according to the Chachamim, Shiva Saminim has no standing anyway. So internally within the Shiva Saminim, there wouldn't be any, it wouldn't be logical to insist on that following a hierarchy within the Shiva Saminim, if the Shiva Saminim themselves don't trump your non-Shiva Saminim Chaviv. So if it's Chaviv versus Shiva Saminim, if Rabbi Yehuda is wrong, if there's no preference to Shiva Saminim, so then internally Chaviv would anyway trump this internal hierarchy of the Shiva Saminim. In any case, so it's still kind of a significant whether...
Is it possible to say that the order of this pasuk is not dafka about Shiva Saminim, but just about categories of brachas, because there are different brachas within that pasuk.
Because it gives you first the chita v'seora, which could likely be mezonos or hamotzi,
yeah.
And then you get ha'etzes. There's no hadamas, right? It's only the ha'etzes and the mezonos or hamotzi ones.
Unless
chita v'seora or hadama or shahakol, depending on how you're preparing the food and eating the food. That's interesting. Could be that. Well, that's interesting. So I don't even know what the ruling would be from that consideration. That mezonos and hamotzi first, ha'etzes second, and possibly the bar priya gafen, which would be part of this thing, depending on whether you eat the grapes as grapes or whether you squeeze it into wine and say the ha'gafen. Okay, there. The Shulchan Aruch does bring that up. I don't know if it's necessarily in the context of this specifically, but maybe it is. That's, of course, the whole business of covering the wine when covering the chalas when you make kiddush, because on the assumption that as you said, that the mezonos and hamotzi are supposed to come first, but we want to say kiddush, and if you have the lechem on the table, so you have to cover it so that you're not in violation of the Seder Kedimus, okay? That's the standard reason given. So I guess so. Yes, that could be what's going on. But the Gemara is taking this over here to be referring to each one as preference over the other one. So even within the ha'etzes and within the mezonos or hamotzis, you'd still have an internal preference, according to that opinion in any case. And the Gemara says, anyway, that's Pliga de Rabbi Chanan. The Amar Reb Chanan, so this is what we're being told over here. Being told that like this, we had a Machlokas Amarayim, whether when you have separate brachos, is there preference for Shiva Saminim? And one of them says, one Amora says, and when there is a preference of Shiva Saminim, then that is consistent with this attitude here about the Shiva Saminim being presented in the Chumash with a hierarchy. And the Gemara says, but that's Pliga de Rabbi Chanan. But that itself is against another statement, a tradition from Rabbi Chanan. Also, it seems to be an Amora. The Amar Rabbi Chanan, Kol ha-pasuk kulo l'shi'ura ne'emar. Now, he looks at the Shiva Saminim pasuk, and he says, no, that's not what's going on. The Chumash is doing something else here. The Chumash is just praising Eretz Yisrael in terms of these specific produce because they all are halachically significant. In other words, rather than emphasizing that they're wonderful and delicious foods, and that's the praise of Eretz Yisrael, in terms of its, like, I don't know, gashmius benefits. But this Amora is saying, no, it's giving you its kind of ruchnius standing that all of these products are used in halachic analysis. L'shiurim ne'emar. And then it goes one at a time. Let's take a look. Chita is significant halachically. It's not thinking of it the way we think about it. Like, ooh, what's the halachos of chita? And it requires, I don't know, bikurim and whatever. No. It's saying a different thing. It's talking about the shiur of certain possibly unrelated halachos is kind of tied into each of these products. So let's see how. Which shiur is tied into chita? This none. It's talking about the halacha of kedei achilas pras. And we've all heard the expression kedei achilas pras, which is the amount of time it would take you to eat a seuda. And we know that with respect to I think the most popular application of that is the requirement that, well, okay, either you have to eat your matzah and your marah within Kedei Chilas Pras, or if you're compelled to eat, let's say in Yom Kippur or something, and you have to eat pachas pachos, so you try to space out your tiny quantities of food, so that it's spread more than a Kedei Chilas Pras of interval. But that's not the usage. That's not the example that's given for a Kedei Chilas Pras here in this Gemara. The Gemara is giving you a Mishnah in Negoyim, which is saying that there's a rule that if a house gets a neged saras at the time that there were such things, then the rule is that, as the pasuk says, if you walk into the house, you become tameh. But then it says this very odd other clause, which is, and if you eat in the house, then your clothes become tameh. That's what it says in the pasuk. It says, v'halchel b'bayis yechabesis begadav. And if you're eating there, your clothes also become tummy. So here's what the rule is. The rule doesn't really care if you're eating or not eating. That's not the issue. The issue is this. Hanichnas lebayis hamenuga, the kelev al kiseifav, esam delove tabosav v'yadav, huvehein tamei miyad. If you walk into a bayis hamenuga, you walk into the house with saras, with negayim on the walls, and it's pronounced tummy, then you become tummy immediately as you walk in. And any objects you're carrying become also tummy immediately, even if they're articles of clothing. But if you're wearing clothing, the clothes that you wear do not become tamei immediately. Those only become tamei. Hayal lavush kelavis andelo baraglavet abosav yetzba osav. Hu tamei miyad, of course. But vein tahorin ad she yishe b'kdechilis pras. If you remain in the house long enough to have eaten a meal. That's the expression. If you eat in the house long enough to have eaten a meal, then your clothes become tameh. What does that mean to eat a meal? It says, an achilas pras, eating a half. The word pras means half. The half that we're talking about is a half of an eruv. An eruv is two meals. Half of an eruv is one meal, which means that it's a meal. A meal can be made up of all kinds of different things. So over here we're being told, no, it's a specific meal. It's a pras of... Now, the quantity that we're talking about is either 3 or 4 kebetzim's worth. 3 or 4 kebetzim's worth of machlokas rishonim. And what is the meal made of? Pas chitim velo pas orim mesa v'yochel beliftan. We're talking about specifically bread. So it's gimel or dalet beitzim of bread, bread made of wheat, as opposed to other grain products. Where you're eating it comfortably, mesa v'yochlem b'liftan, and you're eating it with your hummus or peanut butter and jelly or whatever. And so the point being that here you see chita as being used for to determine the shiur of time that it would be to identify the time span of an achilas pras. All right. Anyway, again, what we're doing over here is we're going through the list of these products in the Shivas Aminim list, and we're going to show how each one appears in some halachic analysis of the shiur of some halacha or other. And that's how Rav Chanan understands what the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael is in its kind of legal or spiritual sort of way. Seora is the next item on the list. Where do you see barley as being significant halachically for the shiur? Disnan etzem kisor metami b'magu m'masa v'ein metami b'ohel. How large does a bone have to be, a bone, meaning a human bone? If you have a human bone, a bone from a human body, if it's a seora-sized bone, if it's just a bone fragment that's minuscule, less than a barley size, then that won't convey tuma. But if it's a barley size, then it will produce tuma mitami b'magu b'masa, magu masa meaning whether you touch the thing, whether you kind of are on the thing, like you step on the thing. I don't think it means you carry it.
Carrying it, but you're not touching it. So like you have it in some sort of keli or something like that you're holding.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. That's what masa might mean when it's carrying you. Really, it's a little bit of a different thing. You're talking about heset, I think. That's when you're moving the thing, you're carrying the thing. I'm not sure. I think that's it's one of those things. If we were more familiar with Tuma, this would all be obvious. Anyway, Matamya b'magu masa, and Matamya b'ohel. Ohel would require more. For Ohel, the Gemara says you need a gulgolas, a shedder of binyan of minyan, but not just a large bone. Gafen, that's the third item. The third item in the pasuk is grapes. Kedei revius yayin lenazir. It's telling us the rule that a nazir is not allowed to eat grapes or any grape products, including some kind of unexpected products of the grape vine. How much of that do you have to eat in order to be guilty of the crime if a nazir is eating some of those things? It says, a kedei revius yayin. Kedei revius yayin. Which means that the grape, a revius of yayin, we're taking the grape to not be an actual grape, but to be wine. The wine is a revius quantity of wine. And the fact that it's wine, and that's what all the Rishonim point out over here, is how does it say anything about wine? It just means revius. What does that have to do with wine? So the Rishonim over here describe that a revius of wine is different from a revius of water, for instance, and you can't just substitute any fluid you want to because they'll have different revius quantities. And you'd have to take a look and see, you know, what this all means. It's a little bit hard for us to appreciate it in our 21st century view of quantifying things. And so we don't really exactly see it this way. But anyway, a revius of yayin, it's based on the grape product. Linazir, linazir. Te'ena, that's the next item, is the figs. Kigro geres lehotzoas Shabbos. It tells you the rule that on Shabbos, well, you're not allowed to, one of the malachas is you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. If you carry on Shabbos something that's significant, then you're going to be chayiv for chilul Shabbos, assuming that you did like an insight to outsider dalet amos b'shus rabbi. And it's only if you're going to carry something of significance. How much makes significance? So the rule is, the Mishnah describes, that if you're carrying food, that's a kegrogeres quantity of food. A grogeres is a dried fig. So you see fig as being significant for the halach of Shabbos. Rimon, kedisnan kol kalei balei batim, shi'uran kerimonim. It's saying that a kli is mekabel tuma, unless the kli is, unless the kli is ruined, but if it's functional, then it's mekabel tuma. If it's ruined, so then it's not mekabel tuma. So how much damage can a kli sustain? Now, we're not talking about a kli like a watch. We're talking about a kli like a container. So if the container is ruined in some way, like it's broken, so it doesn't contain what you had initially intended this kli to contain, it may still be mekabel tuma if the puncture or the break is not too bad. So how bad would it be? So it says here, for regular homeowners, kol klei bali batim, shiu run kerimonim. And we're on a base on the top. It says if it's a pomegranate size hole in the kli, so then that's essentially useless and you would throw it out and then it's not mekabel tuma anymore. But a smaller the hole than that, you'd figure out some use for this kli and it's still mekabel tuma. That's what it seems to say over here. I wouldn't necessarily say that that's true in our world though. Then the next things are zeis shemen and dvash. So what's eretz zeis shemen? Olives and olive oil. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, eretz shekol shiureha kezeisim. And not only does it say olives, it even emphasizes eretz zeis shemen. It's the land of olives, which means it's the land that's loaded with kezayis shir. And we all know this. It's like kezayis is like the standard shir for almost everything when it comes to mitzvos of achila and such things. Kol shiureha, the Gemara says. What? Kol shiureha sal gadaitach? It's not everything. We've already seen a number of shiurim which aren't kezayis based. Means eretz sherov shiureha kezayisim. Okay, that we don't even have to explain. So much of the mitzvahs of achila are kezayis based. And dvash, which is dates and date honey, it's kekoseves agas b'yom kippurim. The rule on Yom Kippur is coming up this week. The rule is that you're chayav for achila on Yom Kippur. You have to fast. How much food puts you in guilty of violating the mitzvah of Tainus on Yom Kippur? It's not a kezayis. Go figure. It's a koseves hagasa. It's a dried date. Dried date, I think. Anyway, point being that that according to this whole understanding of how to read the pasuk about it being about shiurim and stuff, so then it has nothing to say about the kedima. So now the Gemara says so v'idach, meaning okay, so Rav Yirmiyahu says that the pasuk is telling me about the order and the sequence, and according to the Amora that says that that's what Rabbi Yehuda also was tapping into. So what do you do with this? You can't deny that these all of these shiurim come are related to these products. The Gemara says, "Oh come on, Hani shiurim behadi b'ksivi elamid rabbanon across machtavi alma." That's it. Nobody's making a drasha on the pasuk. All you're doing from the pasuk, you're not even learning pshuta shemikra. All you're learning from the pasuk is a kind of an interesting and maybe even a kind of a fascinating or cute asmachta about how all of these products tie into the shiurim. But that's not, that doesn't mean to preclude what I was saying, which is using the sequence of the items here to be telling me something about how the Chumash ranks these products. So it doesn't really prove. And at this point, we've actually, hold on, we're almost done. We're on two more lines, and we'll get to this to the end of this piece of the sugi before we go on to the next Gemara. Story says Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna, these two Amoraim, Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna, have Yasu b'Seudasa. They were sitting at a meal. Ayusu l'kamayu tamare v'rimone, and they served tamarim, which are dates, and rimonim. Okay, dates and rimonim. So now both of these are on the list of Shiva Saminim. And the question is, they were going to have to say a bari priya eitz, and apparently they were both interested in eating both of these foods. Shakal Rav Hamnuna, so Rav Hamnuna reached first, and he picked up a tamara, a date, and he said the bracha eitz on the date, and he ate it. Veresha. So Rav Chista says to him, I don't get you. I don't understand what you just did. Now, in order to understand what's bothering Rav Chista, we have to review again the pasuk. The pasuk says, now it's chita saora, those aren't relevant. Gefen, that's grapes, that's not relevant. Te'ena, figs, and rimon. Eretz zeis shemen u'dvash. So dvash, which is that's the last one on the list. And two earlier than that was the figs. Te'ena v'rimon. Three earlier than that was the figs.
This is tomorrow.
Oh, dvash. Dvash is the last one. And he said, oh, and Rimonim. He had Rimonim, right. Okay, so the Rimonim was the two before that in the Pasuk. So that's what he asked him. So he said to him, that doesn't matter to you? Lo svirale, amalei Rav Chista, lo svirale mar leha de'amar Rav Yosef, v'yitim Rav Yitzchak kolam muktam b'pasuk zeh kodim lebracha. Don't you know that, you know, don't you hold like that? That statement about the sequence, the priorities, and the hierarchies of the bracha. So right now, before we even go on, a lot of the Rishonim say, hold on, couldn't he have just said, I don't hold like that at all, because I hold that I happen to personally like the dates better. So I like chaviv. So like that, he could have answered that, but he doesn't answer that. What he answers is, yes, I am complying with that, but you neglected to pay attention to one kind of exclusion to that rule. Amar le ze sheni la'aretz, ze chamishi la'aretz. He said, wait a minute. It's not the kind of the absolute order in the pasuk. So it's not like we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in order. Before number 5 and 6, the Chumash goes back and it emphasizes Eretz. So the fact that if you read the pasuk, it says it kind of resets the number again by saying Eretz again, Zeis Shemen. So then the numbers go back, and those final two get ranked higher than the numbers 3, 4, 5 of the first list. And so therefore, when you keep that in mind, it comes out that the Tamara was number 2 after the second Eretz. And that's competing with the Rimon, which was only number 5. So therefore, he said to him, even following the concept of the priorities as prescribed in the Pasuk, according to Rav Yosef's policy, but the number gets reset when you hit the Eretz again. And therefore, he said, I am complying with that by saying the bracha on the Tamarim. Amar Lei. So apparently, Rav Chisda didn't realize this. Right? This is who? Rav Chisda didn't realize that. Amar Lei, wow, that was a great point. Man Yahiv La Nagori de Parzilo in Ashmeinach. He essentially says to him, well, if only I had bionic legs, I would follow you everywhere. I see you really, you're great. You know all these kinds of little details. All right. Any case, at this point, is it clear what we hold on the question of sequence and priorities and hierarchies? Not at all. And not only that, but this sugya has to weave into, from two dafim ago, there was the other question of priorities. So in the Shulchan Aruch, it seems to say this. It seems to say that for almost all purposes, what you want is the thing that you say your bracha on or you say the bracha first. There are relatively few exceptions, and it's unclear exactly which policies to hold like, and different opinions are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Before we stop, let's see if we can get somewhere in the next sugya. Okay, the Gemara says, and this next sugya is going to be the sugya what's called dessert foods. Itmar. What if they served fruit in the middle of the meal? Not middle as in really middle, but middle as in, you know, dessert. So if they bring you fruit for dessert, you know, you're happy that we live at a time when that's not the only dessert that you could imagine. I mean, but anyway, te'enav yanavim, fruit as dessert. So what do you do? Amar Rav Huna, we're going to find three opinions about what the rule is for desserts. Amar Rav Huna, te'una bracha lefnei v'in te'una bracha lechreihem. Rav Huna says, well, then they're going to need a bracha rishona, clearly. They're not covered by the hamotzi in the meal, but no bracha achorna required because you're going to bench and the benching will cover everything. Dechenam Rav Nachman, te'una bracha lefnei v'in te'una bracha lechreihem. This is known as Rav Huna and Rav Nachman's shita about fruit for dessert. Bracha rishona, yes, required. Bracha achorna, not required. Rav Sheshes, other Amar, Rav Sheshes argues, he says, no, tuna bracha bein lefnei bein leachreihem. Rav Sheshes argues and he says, well, of course it needs a bracha rishona, but it even needs a bracha achrona. She'ein lecha davar she'eton bracha lefnona vein ton bracha leachreihem ve'lepasva ve'kisten bilvad. Rav Sheshes gives you this intriguing rule, he says here, because the only thing that you're going to say a bracha rishona but not a bracha achrona, or at least not a corresponding bracha achrona, the only thing is pas haba be'kisten. So those words and that phrase activates the whole discussion about cake. And that's going to be on the next stuff. We're not going to spend our time on it. But for now, all we're saying is this. The only thing that gets that rule of bracha rishon and bracha achron is going to be cake. But if it's just fruit, then it needs a bracha achrona too. On the argument being that your bracha samazon is only for mazon. It's not for things like desserts. And desserts won't be covered. You need a bracha achrona. That's for sheshes. And the Gemara says, and pliga de Rabbi Chia, de Amar Rabbi Chia, and this is all against Rabbi Chia, the Amar Rabbi Chia, who says, pas poteres kol minei machal, the yayin poter kol minei mashkim. He says, hamotzi covers all foods, and bar pir gafen covers all beverages. In which case, now we have three opinions about the dessert fruit, whether it needs a bracha rishona, or also bracha achrona, or neither. So Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa does us the favor and he says, let me tell you the psak, hilchisa, which is always great. We always relish when somebody can actually tell us the hilchisa psak. We don't have to kind of work through on our own. And we follow Rav Papa. Rav Papa's statement will be the psak. If only we knew what he said. So here's what he says. Hilchisa, the psak is as follows. And he doesn't tell you which of the three he holds. He kind of creates his own fourth policy. Devar maboy machmas hasuda besoch hasuda, foods that you're gonna eat part of the meal that's kind of for the meal or because of the meal or in service of the meal or that kind of a thing. Aim to in a bracha lefneim v'lo leachreim. No bracha required at all lefneim olechreim. Rashi gives you a whole understanding over here that we do not accept. Tosfos rejects it, and all the Rishonim reject the Rashi, and the Shulchan Aruch ignores the Rashi. So Rashi understands that this just means things like hummus or peanut butter and jelly or something that you're actually eating on the bread. But that's not what we hold. We hold that this is all main course foods. All main course foods are going to be covered with this. That's what we hold. Shalom, Achmas Hasuda, Besoch Hasuda. But any foods that you're eating during the meal but are not Machmas Hasuda, that are not dessert, that are not main course foods, what we would call dessert foods. Any of the dessert foods, tu'una bracha lefneihem, ve'ein tu'una bracha liachreihem. They require bracha rishona, they don't require bracha achrona. Which according to, that's what Tosas are very clear about this definition, and that's what we hold, that's what Shulchan Aruch quotes, that we follow, in other words, we're following Rav Huna. But the third category he gives here is, but liach rasuda, tu'una bracha bein lefneihem, bein liachreihem. Now, liach rasuda means after the meal's over, so it's not dessert. It's some other post-dessert event. And this is unclear. Tosas say, yeah, it's kind of unclear because we don't have such a thing. Tosas say that this category is not a thing that we have in our world. Mishnah Berurah tries to resurrect it, maybe, when he says, you know, it may be at a Venetian table, that kind of a thing, that might actually be this case. It's when they've already cleared the table, they've rolled away the tables at the event, and they have a different dessert section, which is a totally different thing, and all the food is gone. And so maybe this third category, which these are liach rasuda, tu'una bracha bein lefneihem bein liachreihem, they need a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona, not covered by benching. So that's what it says. Over here is the psak, and that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. But we don't essentially have that third category. We only follow. So according to this, all the dessert foods need a bracha rishona. The only thing is that even Rav Sheshes admitted that pas haba bekisnin does not need a bracha achrona and does not need a bracha rishona. So we're going to get into the next daf talks about pas haba bekisnin, and maybe that might be different if you're going to have cake for dessert. Maybe not. Let's just close this up here. Shalouis Ben Zoma. The Gemara now relates that they asked Ben Zoma. I don't really know. This is Ben Zoma the Tana. It doesn't even say there's a Braisa or anybody quoting a Braisa, so I don't really get exactly how this suddenly appears here. But anyway, they asked Ben Zoma whether this is the Tana or some other more, I don't know. Mipnei ma amru dvar ma boy machmas asura besoch asura ain tuna bracha lo lefnei velo leachreya. So they asked him, why don't you need to say a bracha on foods that are during the meal? Amar lahem, he said to them, well, because it's covered by a motzi. Since the bracha and the hamotzi covers them. So then he asked, well, ihachi, yayinami, nipatre pas. Then why do you need to say a bracha in the meal when you bring out wine? Why shouldn't it be covered by hamotzi? So Amar lai, shayin yayin, degorin bracha liatzmo. He said, well, that's true. Yayin is unique in this way. It's not covered by hamotzi. Even if you didn't say a bracha first. Let's say you made a set of motzi, and now you're drinking your beverage of wine, you need a hagafen on it. Even in the middle of a meal, it's not covered by yamotzi. That's the din, that it's unique. It's not covered by yamotzi because it's goreim bracha liatzmo. Whatever those words mean, it means that because it is unique in beverages and gets a different bracha all to itself. All right, we'll stop here.
Go ahead.